It is pouring down rain in Minnesota on a beautiful Tuesday, and I am in Edina, Minnesota. I'm going to interview a friend of mine by the name of John Unverzot, who's the owner of Fitness Together in Edina and Maple Grove. And I have two disclaimers that I'll make in this podcast. I do not do paid content. I sell advertising in my podcasts, and John and I network at a local networking group, and one of the things that I did at one point was give away a podcast interview. And so John, who is also an advertiser client here at the BobDavisPodcast.com, happened to win it. So I'm going to interview John. And John and I talk about a lot of things. We often get together at Network. We talk about fitness, and we talk about his sort of journey in terms of becoming an owner at Fitness Together. And his parents and family are from the same hometown as my parents and family, and he kind of took a similar track up to the northern part of the Midwest. And we're going to talk about that and lots of other things in podcast 866, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Yeah, it's pouring down rain out there, and we're just on the cusp of this cold weather coming in. If you have been paying any attention in the last couple of days, we've had this sort of wild roller coaster ride with temperatures, and the cold is eventually coming. You still have a little time to do some heating checks as well as some plumbing checks, and kind of just make sure everything in terms of your plumbing, heating, and so forth are all together before the cold weather comes. And for that, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul for home or business, because, and I say this all the time, but it's true, when it comes to keeping all of your systems running correctly these days, whether it's at home or business, you have to have somebody that knows what they're doing. You want reliable service, and that means Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in St. Paul. What do they do? Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. One of the things Ryan can help you with is improving the efficiency of your heating system at home or business, or things like instant hot water, and also they can save you money on water usage, because a lot of these toilets these days, if they've been around for a while, are not as efficient as the new toilets. And that's definitely something to ask them about when they come to do the heating check in St. Paul. 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Four generations in Frogtown in St. Paul. You can also check them out online at ryanplumbing.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So I'm here with John Unverzot, and he is, what would you say, that you're the president of Fitness Together?
Owner.
Or the owner of Fitness Together in Edina and Maple Grove. And this is very interesting, because John and I network together at an unnamed networking group, which has some pretty specific rules about how it's done. And so, and we'll talk about networking a little bit, but it's more organized than just, hey, let's get together and have drinks and network. And it's really interesting, because you meet people and do business with people that you might would never meet in a normal environment. Like, I doubt that we're so different personality wise. And it's so interesting to me, because you end up learning. I learn so much from people that I don't know, that I would never normally talk to, because of this whole thing, because there's personality differences. And you know me, I'm super extroverted, and you are, I wouldn't say that you're an introvert, but you're not exactly an extrovert. So it can be a difficult interface. And I just love that, because I learned so much from doing that. So the story here is this. As part of this networking group, I gave away a podcast. And my audience knows that I don't ever do paid content in podcasts. So I would not like sell a podcast to somebody and then just interview them as part of a deal. So this is a giveaway. And it just so happened that John is also a client. So it's really working out great for you. So we will talk about fitness together. We're going to talk about fitness. We'll talk about networking. But I just want people to know that this isn't a paid interview. This is actually kind of an interesting journey for me, because I get to talk to you, and now I've talked way too much. So you own Fitness Together. Let's start with talking about Fitness Together, and then I want to get into your history and everything. So tell me about Fitness Together in Edina and Maple Grove.
Yeah, Fitness Together is private one-on-one personalized training studio, and that's all we do is one-on-one training. It's not a gym or gym membership, and we start with free consultations to learn what our clients want to work on, what their goals are, provide a free session so they can get an idea of what it's like to work with us, and then if we're a good fit for them, we put together a personalized program, and they come in 2 to 3 times a week and get some great results.
And I've interviewed a number of people who are clients, and you know, you've probably, if you've been listening to the podcast, you've heard some of those ads that we call personal endorsements, where real people talk about what it's like. And it's pretty amazing the range of people, from people who are really fitness freaks like Lois, who, you know, has been working out since she was 4.
Yeah, love Lois.
And people who just, the couple that were just trying to get in shape, and people who have been injured, or people who are just starting out. And it's always interesting to me to sort of see that fitness journey, that people start at one place and then they end up in a completely different place. And it's kind of neat.
Yeah, we work with people of all ages, all fitness levels. Everybody's unique. Everybody's got unique goals. So that's the great thing about one-on-one training, is you can come in and get a program designed just for you.
And it's not the big box gym thing, which we've often talked about. Now you've had kind of an interesting journey, and when we started talking about advertising, it was really interesting to hear your journey. First of all, your family is from Columbus, Ohio. My family's from Columbus, Ohio. You moved to Chicago. My mom and dad moved to Chicago from Columbus, and then you came here. So that's kind of the path that I took, which is just a bizarre coincidence. But you had an interesting path to get into fitness, which I think is really interesting. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, my first career was in the restaurant industry, and you know, I really enjoyed it. I'm a foodie. I love creating and cooking and making people happy with food. But at about age 25, I realized that wasn't the lifestyle for me, and you know, was having trouble keeping up with the hours
with the
and the working conditions. And yeah, the
and we talked the, about the no, partying the restaurant business
the,
is
yeah,
crazy.
Yeah, crazy people like to party. And but I thought there might be something else out there that I was a little more passionate about. And the universe pointed me towards Ohio State University, and I discovered physical education and thought I wanted to be a school teacher, and got a degree in physical education and certified to teach K-12. And I did for a little while, but I also was a personal trainer on the side and coached a few different sports on the side, and decided it was the personal training that I really liked the best, and figured out a way to make a career out of it. And was labeled at the time, there's a handful of us, they called first generation career personal trainers.
Oh, wow.
That prior to that, personal training was something that people dabbled in and was a hobby, and maybe.
So you were literally on the very edge of that whole movement.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, and that was almost 30 years ago.
Wow. So what's that been like to kind of watch that whole, now, my thing is yoga, and it's really interesting. I wouldn't say that I'm a fitness freak, but I definitely am a yoga freak, and that you see the transformation that people go through. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that has now become this, you know, when I started doing yoga, it was really hard to find a yoga studio, and now they're everywhere. I mean, there's probably one in this little, you know, over here in Edina. Right. You've got this weird little proto, you know, social group of these different, the Mathnasium is over here, you know, which is kind of funny because there's a bunch of other fitness, well, not fitness, but there's, you know, other physical type services here.
Well, the industry would be known as the boutique fitness, and it's a small boxes that have their own niche. You go to your yoga only studio, and yoga has gained popularity like crazy.
I feel like it's peaking.
Yeah, personally. Yeah. And it's, you know, if it's a good fit, I always encourage people to do it. I struggle with yoga. I'm just not very good at it.
No one is. Unless you're 22 years old and female and have dance experience.
Very bendy.
You're fantastic at it. Although I do see some guys occasionally.
Yeah, so I appreciate yoga. I value it. I point my clients in that direction all the time. So it's just, again, another way to get fit in the boutique type space that we're in.
But when you started, there was nothing. I doubt that even Fitness Together existed when you started.
Right.
So didn't you work at Ohio State or something for a while? Or?
Well, I was a student at Ohio State, and and that's where I started my personal training while I was a student there as well. And at the time, really, your choice was to join a gym and then either hire a trainer or do not hire a trainer. And there weren't a lot of options other than that. So
yeah. I would imagine that most of the trainers were like athletic trainers working for university, you know,
and there was a lot of gym science where, you know, hey, there's a big guy over there. What's he doing? We should go do that. And we've come a long way with education and certification.
Well, it was bodybuilding.
Then. Yeah.
Which is, and you're, the other thing that I think is really interesting about what you're doing also is you've got a nutrition component to it as well, which is so important. And that's the thing we both, you know, we both network with there. And I, you know, in our networking group, there are other people doing different things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's one person that's doing nutrition and whatever, but you've got this nutrition thing as part of what you're doing. So it's not just at the gym. It's just also that it's a whole program that you've got people on.
Right. We like to consider ourselves a complete solution, and it's what makes us different from other gyms or other fitness facilities is that we're not just a 45-minute workout. We have a complete complement of assessment tools that we can measure baseline fitness versus 6 to 8 weeks down the road, every 6 to 8 weeks showing your results. We provide DNA testing so that your program is, it can't get any more personalized than that.
So you look at the DNA and then you personalize the nutrition to the DNA.
Yeah, the nutrition, the workouts, aging, weight loss, whatever your goals are.
What have you learned from the DNA stuff? That's kind of,
well, it confirmed to what I already knew, that why does one thing work for one person and doesn't work for someone else, because they're two different people and they're wired differently. And we have to take a look at the reports that we receive say people with your genes have a tendency to, and then either respond well or not respond well to certain things. So we try to steer that program to the...
So the keto diet might not work for, which is the big rage right now, the diet thing, which is the, you know, it's so funny because I went to this anarchist convention over the weekend in South Dakota, and we ended up they're all talking about keto.
Sure.
Which is really kind of funny. When
they're anarchists, but they're all doing the same diet.
Yeah, they're anarchists, but they're all doing the same diet. And I found it by simply, you know, my story was I was really overweight because it was, and I was a stress eater, and I was on the air, and we had a really great client who was just a Bill Pop Communications over in up 169, and he lost a ton of weight, and I was like, what did you do? And he whips out this Atkins book, and he goes, here, and he gave it to me. And I'll never forget that. And so then when he handed me the book, which was all it was just a log of what you eat. So I looked at it for 30 seconds and I was like, well, this is just eat meat.
Yeah.
So I ate beef jerky and bacon and eggs for like 2 years and I lost like 40 pounds. So then I could go back to yoga after I lost the weight, because nobody wants to be naked in a room and just be fat.
Right.
So I can totally identify with nutrition, but the keto might be extremely difficult for someone who... just isn't set up.
Yeah, and again, our weight management DNA report would tell somebody that may be a good idea, that may not be a good idea. But not all our clients come to us for weight loss. So somebody that's trying to improve their athletic performance, they would get a different report that tells them based on their DNA what type of training would be best for them. I found out personally that people with my genes don't respond to cardiovascular training very well for weight loss. And it recommended 350 to 450 minutes a week
of cardio. So you would have to double down on the cardio.
I would have to do 5 days a week of 90 minutes each.
Well, it's funny because the big thing at yoga now is yoga sculpt with weights.
Sure, sure.
There's a lot of cardio. And so then they're doing the Ply method, which is, I guess, really high levels of cardio, which actually helps break through. But everyone hates cardio.
Well, in the end, it just says you should not rely on cardio alone if you want to lose weight, because nobody's going to do that much cardio.
So basically...
Say I need a more well-rounded program. You know, somebody that just thinks I can go do 45 minutes of cardio a day is probably not going to see with those genes, I should say. So
I rode my bike to work. I ran. I did all this stuff. And then I would go eat like twice a day. I'd have pho.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember I said to one of my yoga teachers, I'm not losing any weight. And she goes, you got to stop eating that damn soup. You know, I can never give that up.
Yeah.
So it was all the noodles and stuff like that. But where did you learn all this stuff? Like, how did you figure all this out? Like, obviously you have a degree in fitness. Sure. Did they teach you that, or is this the stuff that you pick up
well,
and fit
was
into that template?
Definitely in the 4 years I was at Ohio State, I learned quite a bit on exercise physiology and nutrition and anatomy. And I think that was the foundation of it. But then I probably have learned even more since then through continuing education, certifications. My team is amazing. I hire people that are way smarter than I am and half my age. And, you know, so we're learning as a team as we go. We take every client that comes in and collaborate our minds together on a good solution for that person. And then that's another thing that makes us unique is if you go to the gym, you hire a trainer, that's your trainer, and it's just you and your trainer, right? You join fitness together, you get a team of trainers, and we're all right. putting our heads together to solve your problem. And you may have more than one person that you work with that can bring new ideas to your program every time you come in.
So in the second half of this podcast, I want to talk about Columbus, Ohio. So
okay.
we're going to do that in a second.
Well, we've been talking about small business, and the truth of the matter is that if you have a small business, doesn't matter how big or how small, you have to have a good payment processor. And so I recommend ReliaFund, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D. What does ReliaFund do? ReliaFund integrates its systems with your systems seamlessly. Most businesses have multiple systems, and usually at some point there's an effort to kind of consolidate everything in terms of the accounting systems, especially if you have a website with you know, a customer interface that takes payments and so forth and so on. There's lots of options when it comes to payment processors. Not too many of them integrate systems the way ReliaFund does. It's certainly worth a conversation. ReliaFund is a payment processor that's been providing integrated solutions to get payments cleared for more than 2 decades. No long-term contracts. They're secure and technology-focused. If you call them, you will talk to a human being. Or if you get onto the ReliaFund website at ReliaFund.com or click on the banner at the top of the page, the BobDavisPodcast.com, you know, you'll be put in touch with a customer interface. And if you tell them what your problem is, you will talk to a human being, either Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry, 866-243-5040. That's 866-243-5040. Or you can check them out online at ReliaFund.com. Another business thing, of course, is all this talk about foreign manufacturing and trade protection with the president. And companies are already being told, actually, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, business just has to accommodate whether it likes it or not. And some companies are actually bringing their manufacturing back to the United States, Apple Computer, at least at some level, and others. If this is you, if you're in the decision-making chain for manufacturing being brought to the United States, or you're considering American manufacturing, remember Depot Star. DEPOT, Depot Star American Design, Engineering, and Manufacturing. Visit their website at depotstar.com.
Okay, so you're from Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, of course, going to digitally market this podcast to Columbus, just FYI.
Okay.
But, you know, it's very interesting because when I was a kid, I used to go to Columbus to see my grandfather, and we talked about that a little bit off the mic. And let's talk about Columbus a little bit. So you grew up there, right?
Yep. Yeah.
What's Columbus like compared to Minneapolis and, I guess, a little bit of Chicago? But really, they're both Midwestern cities, but yeah. Columbus is, of course, in the Eastern time zone.
Yeah.
A little bit different kind of situation. What's Columbus like compared to Minneapolis and St. Paul?
Well, Columbus is about the size of Minneapolis. So
now it is?
Yeah. I mean,
wow.
It's not nearly as big as the Twin Cities combined. And it's... You know, it was starting to be a happening downtown Columbus when I moved in 99, maybe. They
okay.
got their professional hockey team.
That's right.
Nationwide Arena was built. It was built right on the state pen grounds from where there was the state penitentiary that burned down in the 70s.
And worked there.
Okay.
And
so,
there was a fire there in the 30s,
yeah.
too.
Okay.
In the
70s is when it was closed. And they still say that there's ghosts and spirits
really?
In Nationwide Arena when you go in there. And so, you know, from the souls that were lost in the fire. But downtown started, they built what was called the Brewery District, where my ancestors came from Germany, and they formed what was called German Village. I don't know if you remember German Village. It was all sausage houses and breweries. And, you know, over time, they kind of started shutting down, but now they revamped that brewery district into the microbrews that are so popular these days, and you know, live entertainment and events. And so that
do you go back and visit?
Yeah, every now and then. And you know, that area is really happening now. It's very popular, and people are starting to move back into that German village area with
the
cobblestone streets and little tiny houses all packed in.
You know, it's very interesting because Minneapolis and St. Paul, of course, German Irish,
sure.
But the first settlers were from New England and New York, and then we got the Norwegian and the Swedes, mm-hmm. and the Northern European immigrants moving in. And it's interesting because Columbus is very German. It's mm-hmm. it's, and in fact, it looks to me like most of Ohio, because Cincinnati is the same thing. There's a lot of German mm-hmm. heritage in Cincinnati too. And I as a kid, I was always confused about the whole German village thing. Like I didn't mm-hmm. I remember asking about that was
Oktoberfest is huge in German village, and Schmidt's sausage house, that's your, you know, mainstay of German village. And so yeah, it's fun to go back and visit. Sports wise, there's a lot more professional sports in Chicago and in Minneapolis.
Well, then you moved to Chicago from Columbus.
Yeah.
Why did you move to Chicago?
It was a job transfer, promotion transfer.
So that was in the restaurant industry?
No, that was in the health and fitness and health club industry. I was managing the personal training department of a big health club, and they offered me a position in Chicago, so I was single and thought, what the heck, let's go check it out. And it was a good time. I was there about 18 months before being then transferred again to Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah. We're not going to say, do we say who you work for, or do we not say? Okay, we don't say.
It's best.
But everyone knows it's a big box gym.
It's big box, about 150,000 square feet, 10,000 members.
Wow.
I had 20 to 30 trainers on the floor at a time. And what I love now about what I do is I actually know every one of my clients. I have less than 100 clients between the two studios, and half a dozen trainers that are all working together at each studio. And, you know, just a much more intimate and just knowing what the clients need a little bit more.
Let's talk networking. Let's
sure.
talk about networking. So we will also not name the networking
sure.
group that we're in, because it's kind of a secret.
We've got to protect it.
We don't want people to know. I'm new to networking, and I'm new to a network where you're kind of looking out for each other. So it's just fascinating to me that now we have a very large network group. Mm-hmm. It's like 70 to 90 people, which mm-hmm. is really amazing. And mostly, I would say, well, I would say all small businesses, if you actually look at the, I don't even think we have a medium-sized business in that group, mm-hmm. technically speaking, because I think small businesses go up to like
500, 50 to 500 or something. Yeah.
So all the businesses are pretty much small businesses. Some of them are pretty big businesses, even if they only have 10 or 11 employees. Mm-hmm. But what's your take on networking? What do you think about networking?
Well, I didn't know much about it until I owned my own business, and somebody made a cold call to me sitting at Fitness Together one day in my office, and somebody called me up and invited me to their visitor day, and I said no.
They all say no.
Yeah, I said no. I got too much to do. I'm a business owner. I, you know, my plate is full. And he was nice. He was understanding. And 6 months later, he called again. Same guy. Inviting me back to another visitor day. And I thought, you know what? This guy's working really hard for
Did you know him?
No.
So they complete just, it was cold call.
Complete financial advisor.
Wow.
And I just really respected him for how hard he was working. Yeah. I said, he's working this hard for a reason.
Yeah, no one respects me when I cold call.
There's got to be something to this. So I went and visited. And, you know, there were 20 to 30 members and 20 to 30 visitors there. And so I was impressed with the size of the group. After the meeting was over, another visitor approached me and said he wanted to come and check out the studio. He came in and he signed up. He was a client for 2 to 3 years.
Oh, wow.
And I thought that was too easy. I just showed up
so
to a meeting.
So you got business right away?
Yeah, showed up to a meeting and got a new client. And I thought that all that cost me was to say yes over the phone. So I said, how do I sign up for this? And the guy that called me twice just laughed and said, imagine if you would have come in 6 months ago when I called you. I said, you're good. So that I was sold at that point, and I've been a member ever since. And you know, the I could go on and on about how great the group is, but our group is there's everything you need if you're a business owner.
That's true.
I just walk up and down the aisles and I said, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. And everybody makes you a priority because you're in their group. They don't treat you like a normal client or customer.
And part of that is, you know that, A, you don't want to be treated coldly. But aside from that, we're taught basically that we really should be looking out for each other, and then people look out for us, which is kind of true.
Yeah.
And we have a large group of reprobates at our of people. And I know everybody sits, the other thing that's interesting is, everyone sits. You're not supposed to, but we end up sort of sitting in the same spot.
Roughly the same spot.
And, you end up with your people over there, and I end up with my people over on the other side. And but it's so much fun. And for me, 7 a.m., I do not do 7 a.m.
Sure.
So I don't know about you, but I'm not a morning
person.
I've
been up for a few hours at that time. But, I sit on the section with all the health and fitness people.
That's
right. And the wellness sphere. As we call it,
the wellness sphere.
And I've done business with all of them in that sphere. And even people in
marketing. So, do the other fitness people refer you?
Mm-hmm. That's where you get. That's where I've gotten most of my referrals, is out of that sphere. But even like our sign company, I got some logos put on my car. So now every time somebody mentions, "Hey, that looks nice," I tell them where I got it, and I say you should give them a call. And that's how you promote.
Did she give you a deal?
I thought she gave me a great deal.
So that can be really expensive, wrapping a car.
Yeah,
nuts.
I've had it done twice, and this was a much better deal than the first one. So, I would highly recommend them.
So do you send any of your other people to any of the other networking groups?
I'm working on it.
They don't really want to do it. But
I've visited a few chapters around town, and I'm ready to try to expand into a second one, but I have to find a team member that is willing, able, and competent enough that's in their wheelhouse. So
it's definitely a commitment.
Yeah,
there's no question about
it. I'm pretty reserved, and it's hard for me to stand up in front of people and talk. And
you do fine.
Yeah,
you are reserved, and but the thing about it is, I've known some of the best salespeople I've known in radio are not necessarily extroverted. Mm-hmm. They are just, They're organized and they get the job done. They don't have to be. Everybody thinks salespeople have to be the guy in the checkered coat.
Well, what's nice
that's
about
that's not necessary.
What I've noticed about our group is everyone's different, and if you tried to act differently than you are, people would notice.
Absolutely.
So if I got up there and tried to be somebody that I'm not, they'd say, "Snap out of it."
No,
because we like you better the way you were.
Yeah,
So you don't have to be a certain way. You just have to be yourself, and that's what I tell my team. And I've got a couple of people in mind that might be a good fit. I had somebody sub for me a while back. One of our team members, and she called me after the meeting and said, "What do I do with all these referrals?"
Oh my God.
And I said, "How many?
Bring them in."
I said, "How many did you get?" She said, "Four." And I said, "I've been in that chapter for 2 years." No,
maybe
you show up.
Her.
You show up one day, and you get four referrals.
I have to say that I looked down on networking for a long time, and I think you probably had the same reaction. I was like, it's going to take time away from my business, and why is this guy calling me? And the same thing. And what was told, the reason that I went is a friend of mine who's a digital marketing guy said, "You got to join this. You're going to get business. Just do it." And so, sometimes I do listen to people when they tell me to do stuff, and I just do it. And I'm so glad that I did, because I think it saved my business, and I think that it has really taught me a ton about business. Because I'm not a business guy. I'm more of an artist, and I don't...
Well, I get about 50% of my clients from digital marketing and 50% from face-to-face networking and events. And so if I were to not network, there'd be 50% of my clients would go away.
Absolutely.
You've got to constantly be out there. And the world is moving more digital, but I feel like when I'm in front of somebody, they're going to get a better understanding of what we do.
For all the talk about digital, I still think getting to know people, you can't get to know people from a video on Facebook. It's just, you think you can, but it's a different texture and experience.
Digital is a great, convenient way to exchange information. People give us their name, phone number, and email, and I call them, and then we, ask questions, and if it sounds like a good idea, we have them come in for a free visit. But the digital you're not going to learn anything about each other digitally.
No. And you really wouldn't, in terms of a client, you can't, I can't get a client from anything digital. It's never worked.
But we've even gotten into texting where somebody texts me at 11:30 on a Saturday night that they're interested in coming in. So I text them right back, and by Sunday morning,
I'll meet you down there.
So by Sunday morning, we've got an appointment for them on Monday, but it didn't take a phone call, a lengthy process. It was just a couple texts back and forth. So we're taking advantage of the technology and making it convenient for people to schedule. And
what's the future for fitness?
That's a great question.
I could put that question to
that could be an entire podcast.
What's the future for blank? But really,
I think the future of fitness, the best I can put it, is functionality, and that's people needing and wanting to be more functional as they age, to do the things that they like to do more often with less effort, less pain. It's getting away from what does my body look like to how does it move and how do I feel. And if I'm moving well and I'm feeling well at 82, which I just got off the phone with my father, he's still playing golf and still working part-time and painting, and because his body's still moving well.
What did he do?
He was a postman.
Oh.
Carrying mail.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So
he was on his feet.
Yeah.
And he still is.
Yeah. And when I ask him if he misses the post office, he just laughs hysterically. Ah! He said they call it going postal for a reason.
Oh, do they?
Yeah,
I always think it would be a great job because, and everyone I know who's in the post office just says, no, it's not.
Well, it's it's low stress, but long hours and, you're in working conditions. But that's the population we're seeing is anywhere from 40 to 80 and people wanting to continue to be active and be able to do the things they love to do. I think it was one of your endorsements or testimonials, it might have been Roxanne saying that her body is a vehicle and now she feels like it works.
I love
she
that
can
one.
Do, it's not an ornament to look nice and pretty. It's how does it work and can I do the things I want to do with it? Well, I think the future of fitness is also reliant upon the next generation of personal trainers coming in. And there just seem to be more and more educated, more and more certified.
I mean, it's getting deep. Like you can get a PhD.
Yeah. And we only hire people that are minimum four-year degree and nationally accredited certifications. I require them to keep up their CECs and renew their certifications. We provide a ton of resources for them to do that. So I think that's where the consumer is looking, is not so much that gym science anymore. Hey, there's a big guy, bodybuilder guy, let's go do what he does. Let's learn from the next generation that's coming in educated to say, what should my body be able to do?
What do you think of the bodybuilders, the guys that are really,
it's
and then
sport.
Of course it's becoming a huge thing for women too.
Yeah, it's a great sport. There's all kinds of sports out there, but to take fitness and turn it into a sport is what bodybuilding's done, and so is CrossFit, and so is a lot of other, you've taken what could be good for you and you take it to the extreme, and I'm not sure how good it is for you, but I admire people that can do it.
I decided I wasn't going to do
CrossFit. It was a long time ago I decided I wasn't going to be a bodybuilder.
I'm a little too old for CrossFit. Even though people would say, no, you're not, but
it all depends on what you like.
Well, I think I probably would like it,
but
I think that's probably a little too punishing for my my age, personally.
Well, having fun, I think, is the number one thing with fitness. You have to find something you enjoy, and I can tell you enjoy yoga, and you're passionate about it, and I can just picture you with a cup of coffee and yoga. That's
I wish I could drink coffee.
Yeah, well, after, I guess. But,
definitely after. Go home and have a steak and drink some coffee.
Yeah.
Probably not the best thing.
There's powerlifting, there's bodybuilding, there's Olympic lifting, there's CrossFit. There's so many different ways to put a program together. And you have to find what you like first. You have to find something you can do that's not going to hurt you and get you better.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thanks, John, for joining me here on the podcast today. And of course, when it comes to plumbing or heating and getting things checked before it gets cold, think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in St. Paul. Check them out online at ryanplumbing.com. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast on iTunes and subscribing on iTunes. Tune in, Stitcher.com, especially Spotify for Android devices, Google Play also for Android devices, and right off the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. We have the streaming audio. You can also go down the page and select individual podcasts and listen to them and share them and so forth and so on. And yes, sharing is really important on social media, also favoriting and retweeting on Twitter. And I appreciate your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. One more word about social media, comments, engagement. If you want to engage and comment, go to thebobdavispodcast.com and go to the comment window and type in your comment, and I'll put it up on the website depending on how crazy it is, because I do moderate that. But I also want to talk real quick about LinkedIn. LinkedIn is becoming a pretty amazing social media platform. And so for those of you who are LinkedIn people, I really appreciate the shares in your networks. And thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast at thebobdavispodcast.com, podcast 866. Again, thank you, John, and thanks for joining me here at thebobdavispodcast.com.
You should be strong.